És kedves hölgyek és urak, ahogy ígértem, közben a dal közben érkezett meg Maurice Medron, éppen egyenesen a reptérről, és ha megengeditek, akkor angolul beszélgettünk, mert hogy ő kaliforniai. Hey, Maurice, what's up?
Hey, first time in Budapest.
First time in Budapest? I didn't know that actually.
Yes.
Is this your next strategic move to take Budapest in?
Yes, absolutely. Since 2001, my song Runaways, which was just played, it was a top song for a couple months in 2001. And since then, it's spread throughout Europe, thanks to my Hungarian fans. Thank you very much, all you guys out there. And so I've been targeting my music here, and I have a second album coming out. And so I'll be living actually in Europe while I tour this summer, and I'll be playing a bunch of shows out here.
Wow, that's amazing. Actually, you know the reasons why the Hungarians loved so much this hit?
I had some swipe up ads on Instagram that definitely took off, but I like to think that it's the sound that people think the European culture accepts rock music and electronic rock more than I think the US, where the market is more rap and pop and country. And rock and roll really still lives in the European culture as well as electronic music.
Yeah.
And I kind of combine those.
Is these the two ends of the music? Like, is there anything in between? What do you think?
That I'm in between. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. It's almost like a new 80s. So I take synthesizer dance music, and then I combined rock vocals.
Right.
So that kind of low, and then that like rock yell, that belt, which kind of creates like a new 80s sound.
How is it going in Miami? Because you live in Miami now, right?
Yes, I just moved to Miami, and it's honestly, it's for a couple reasons, but one is it's closer to Europe, so I can zip over when I have opportunities that present themselves. But I started my career in LA. I grew up in California, but I've been in Miami for like 3 months now, and then
don't you miss California? Venice Beach. You come from Venice Beach, right?
Yeah, we spoke briefly about that. I lived in Venice Beach, and most of the music that, you know, if you go through my whole catalog, that's all was created in a small apartment in Venice Beach.
Yeah.
I'm in Miami now for 4 months, and I'm going to continue my second album, which is almost done. I'm going to be releasing four singles throughout the rest of the year, and then the album's actually, although it will be done, will be released in February with a bunch of music videos.
So how long you stay in Budapest now?
Budapest until Friday morning. And then I go out to a small town outside the city. Zurcek.
Say again.
I'm trying. One more time.
Zolaceng.
Sorry.
Wow, almost without any accents.
Festival. So I'm out here promoting. I'm quote unquote headlining a festival and at the end of June, and I have the Friday night slot at Irving Eshvig Festival in Zolaceng.
Oh yeah, that was actually I understood, but I'm not sure if the listeners understood it. It's called Irving Eshvig, right?
Yes, Irving Eshvig.
yeah. So how did you take this this opportunity? So when Tomás or anybody called you for this concert, what was the main thing that came to your mind? Did you ask, why should I come this far from Miami and play to this audience?
No, not at all, because I love to travel and I love to explore, and a lot of my other... this is going to be my second European tour, and there is a language barrier and a very... Even though I have a ton of fans in this market, to find a show that was worth coming all the way out here and performing was very difficult. So I tried last summer and I spoke with a couple like small venues, but it wasn't like I wanted to put on a big show. And so I held off on that and went to some other countries that I was popular in. Like I went to Poland, Turkey, Spain. I have a big fan base in Spain. So I went there last summer while I waited to really do a big show in Hungary in a big launch, and that's Irving Eshvig Festival. And so
right.
I'm out here promoting. I'm doing kind of an acoustic unplugged rock set tonight. I'm really pumped to spread my music and continue to capitalize on this market.
Before Friday, can you meet the Hungarian fans in Budapest or wherever?
Absolutely. I've been DMing. So tonight I have a bunch of friends and or fans that are coming that I consider friends because
they might become friends later, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're so nice and welcoming, and I hear all these stories where I get some fan mail, and it's great. And so I'm excited to meet a lot of people.
Let's talk about this music video, the Runaway, because this was like a low budget. It started like a low budget. It didn't have the money for making the music video, right?
So it
was a co-founding opportunity, and then people just put together the money. Is it right? Was it?
So
Jay Gillen was the.
Well, that was the promotion. When I did how the Jake Gyllenhaal dancing video came about is I have a friend that worked on that film.
Did he listen to that music?
I don't know if he's listened to it, but I know I got the rights to do a little ad on Facebook with it, with a snippet of it. So he's not in the music video. There is no full music video. That's a clip from an independent film.
That was not direct. I see.
Yeah, so I got to dub over my music with their permission. And then advertise it. But the music video, the fund that I did that I raised is for an official music video for Runaways. And I don't know if you know this, but Runaways tells a story. And so I did a GoFundMe. And unfortunately, we still don't have the full amount of money to do the music video. And we were very close. This GoFundMe started at the end of 2021 when the song was really, that's when I released it. And it took off very quickly than I was expecting to. As an independent artist who had just launched their career, I mean, I just launched my first album 4 months or 2 months before I launched the song Runaways, the first single. And I put a little bit of marketing dollars behind it, and it kind of took off. And then I went to go do a music video. But financially, to tell this story would probably take about, to do it properly, would probably take around 50,000 US dollars. I was living in Venice at the time. And I have people that direct music videos, and I was able to get it down to $20,000 because I had some good friends that worked in the industry, and we were going to essentially go out into the desert and shoot this Quentin Tarantino-esque music video with a car chase and some gunshots, because it really is, it's like a gangster story.
You stuck with this this word, right? With this Quentin Tarantino kind of word.
Yes, this kind of... romantic gunslinger western rock, which is also prevalent in the song Under the Moon, which was the number one song out of my first album,
which you will play now, right?
Yes, I'll pick it up and sing a little slow version of that.
So let's talk about a little bit before you play about this cinematic world.
Mm-hmm.
Because that could be a very good this is a good scene. I mean, this is a very good target. Mm-hmm. I just don't find a word, but anyway, just to have this kind of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it mean for you? In the music videos, the storytelling is more about the picture or the music. So what is in the first place?
I mean, I don't think you can put one before the other as far as which is more important. Now, I think because my song has become popular in countries that don't understand the lyrics, a lot of the times on YouTube I have tons of comments and people will translate the lyrics.
Yeah.
But they first become addicted to the sound, and then they become addicted to the lyrics, which tells a story of a kid who's trying to run away from a gang life because he just got caught up with the wrong people, so he has to, for lack of a better purpose, shoot someone to run away.
Yeah. It's God on the wave.
Yes, exactly. And it was inspired by a Quentin Tarantino screenplay called True Romance, which is an early 90s film. Yeah, True Romance.
One of my favorite movies.
It's incredible,
one
right?
One of my favorite movies ever.
It's inspired.
Dennis Hopper, how is it? Oof. Oh man!
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah, and it was a lot of scenes that were not directed, mm-hmm. and they were improvised. A lot of scenes. I don't know if you knew that, but
I didn't know that.
But this is one of the reasons I love this movie. Really, a lot of the scenes are not written in that. Anyway.
I mean, the acting's incredible. Some of the most terrific monologues.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Brad Pitt.
Even Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
As like two lines, I don't know.
Gary Oldman as the gangster. Man. That's a transformation.
Yeah. So this took you over, and this is where you found your home, mm-hmm. and this is how you can express yourself, like in the music. You find this kind of storytelling.
Yes, I've always been drawn to telling a story in the songs. I've always been drawn to songs that tell stories, and there's a lack of that in the market today. I like classic songwriting, 70s, 80s songwriting, and it kind of shows in Under the Moon is also kind of a story that's a personal thing about... Yes, but it's a story, yeah. That was also a story about making love under the moon, essentially. But there's a bunch of stories.
This is the place to tell these stories.
Yes.
Please tell us the story.
I was traveling abroad, and I was in Rome, and I met a girl, and we made love under the moon. So that's how that song kind of came about. But
in a park.
In a square inside of like
in a square
in a square of a
people passing by.
No, it was like at 4 a.m. But
thank you very much for telling us the story.
Yeah,
and now we can listen to the song that was born by this story.
Yeah,
and it's really really good. So
is it time?
If you feel so, yeah.
Yeah, we can. Yeah. Let me grab the guitar.
I think you have less time than me. Yeah, because you need to leave soon for this event. So let's switch into Hungarian for a second. Hölgyek és urak, itt van velem Moritz Medron, és ő fogja eljátszani nekünk. Az imént hallott Runaways volt az első olyan sláger, amit fölkapott az internet népe, meg aztán a rádiók is, és most pedig eljátsza nekünk az Under the Moon című szintén nagy slágerét, úgyhogy ez egy live session, itt a Szabad Esésben. Na figyeljetek!
All right.
Are
Under
you ready?
The Moon. Yeah.
Okay, Under the Moon.
Wait. You'll never need to stay. No. A girl like you won't fade. Like light behind the moon. Your eyes will haunt this fool. So stay with me until the sway and dream under the moon. Girl, you know just how to feel. Love like stars that roll the wheel. I'll push and pull for you. I'll drive out time for you. So stay with me until the sway and dream under the moon. Understand our love tonight is true. Though you and I won't move, so stay with me until the moon sway and dream under the moon. would play and sing, covered in moon. I pray we'll meet back under the moon.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Thanks, man. You got in the mood, right?
Always in the mood.
He always in the mood. That's funny, actually, that I found it on your website. If David Bowie, Elvis, and Van Morrison had a baby, and Maroon 5, Calvin Harris, and Daft Punk had a baby, then those babies had a baby, you'd get Maurice Madron. Did you find it out?
Yeah, so I had a fan that essentially sent me that, and I liked it so much that I used it. So yeah, I mean, that's what I'm trying to do, is this Roy Orbison dark low, and then kind of rock when I yell. That one's very low tone, but I also sing a lot of songs in a little bit of a higher range.
Right.
And then unlike this song that's very acoustic, I drop into some more Daft Punk, dancey beats. Especially my second album is completely disco rock with that low tone. So it's a very unique sound. Very excited. It's a sound I've been trying to master since I became a producer, since I've been doing this for the last, you know, 3 years. And I think I've really found it. So I'm very excited for my second album.
Great. So tell me your next moves. What is coming up for the next year?
The next year, essentially, I'm playing shows. After this, I go play Ibiza Rock Festival. And a week from Friday. And then I have a private show in Madrid. And then I go back to Miami to finish my album. I have a show in Phoenix, Arizona. Then I go and mix with Daniel Conscious of Conscious Studios in LA, who did my first album. Genius, this guy. I got very lucky when meeting this guy during COVID. And he produced... he did Hozier's last album. He's done Kendrick Lamar's albums. He's done a ton of stuff. And we became friends, and he liked my first album. We worked on it together. And I'm kind of like a protege of his, and he loves my music. And so I'm going to have him mix this second album. So I go into the studio with him in late April and May. Then I come back and fly out to do some shows with Northern Lights of Germany. I don't know if you heard of that band. I'm going to be opening for them in
June. Yeah, yeah, indeed.
Yeah, and so I'll be playing in June around Europe. You do a couple shows in Istanbul, Irving Ashberg Festival, obviously, yeah. June 29th. 28th, sorry, 28th and 29th.
These are numbers.
I perform on 28th.
They're just numbers.
Yeah. But yeah, super, super excited. Oh, and then I'm living in Portugal the entire time, and I have a bunch of other shows in another festival in Ibiza, a couple other festivals in July in Istanbul.
So you mostly spend your time in Europe for the next couple of months.
Yes, yes.
And their center will be Lisbon, or I don't know.
Yeah, Lisbon will be my hub, and then I'll be... in and out of Spain. My guitarist lives in Spain, so we'll be rehearsing there and doing some music video stuff, shooting a lot of video over the summer.
Project management, yeah. It will be. Yeah. So I wish you all the best, and thank you so much for popping by.
Thank you for having me on. This was a pleasure.
It was my pleasure. So, ladies and gentlemen, Maurice Madron.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay. Hölgyek, urak, mindjárt folytatjuk... Cserkuti Dáviddal és Rácz Viktorral, ők már idekint várakoznak, és erős váltás, de megyünk tovább a képregények világával.